today on The Journey.
So we're talking about the defenses that we as believers have against Satan. We need to take a decisive stand.
Right.
James 4:7, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
It has been said, the best defense is a good offense. That's certainly true in spiritual warfare. So in this program, Ron Moore and men's minister Tun Jilkin talk about our offensive weapons and how we should use them to defend against Satan's attacks. Before that, I want you to know about Ron's encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. It reaffirms, from the book of Joshua, that God is in control and has great things for you to do. Strong and Courageous is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll have more about this inspiring resource later in the program. Now here are Ron and Tunch with part four of their discussion titled, Under Attack, the Enemy, on the Journey.
We're talking about men engaging in the battle. There is a battle going on,
right,
and we have to engage in it. We believe there are three major battlefields: the battlefield of the world, the battlefield of the flesh, the battlefield of the devil. So we're looking at what Scripture says about Satan. We need to have a proper attitude towards Satan. God is on our side, but we cannot assume automatic victory, nor are we the Satan slayer.
No.
And let's go rebuke Satan.
Right.
We're never told in Scripture to do that.
No.
Here's a passage, Jude chapter 1, because there's only one
Jude
chapter.
Verses 8 and 9, yeah.
Jude 8 and 9.
Yeah.
In that very same way, on the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own body, reject authority, and heap abuse on celestial beings. But Jude says, even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, the Lord rebuke you.
Yeah.
So you don't see in Scripture anyone going up and say, I rebuke you, Satan.
Right. Yeah.
The Lord rebuke you.
Yeah.
You got to have a healthy respect for the enemy.
Right.
We're on God's side, but we have to have a proper attitude towards Satan.
Right. What I love about these two verses, if you could picture anybody standing toe-to-toe with Satan that was a created being, it would have been Michael.
Yeah.
And if Michael himself did not, that says something to us. In all the passages that we read about the spiritual battle, and even in Daniel when the angel was battling the prince of Persia, and he said, I was getting my butt whipped until Michael showed up. You know, Michael is, instead of the man, he's the angel.
Right.
And yet he, you like that?
That
he
good.
Is the angel. And he said, the Lord rebuke you.
I think there's a lot of lesson to learn from that we have to have a proper attitude. Mm-hmm. To say, God's on our side,
yeah,
but we cannot assume automatic victory. Here's number four. The believer should be informed and alert to Satan's attack. So here's our defense. Again, this is one of the things we're talking about. We need to know our enemy.
Right.
We need to know the strength of our enemy. And we need to know that, as 1 Peter 5 tells us, be on the alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him,
yeah,
standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And Peter there is saying, if you think you're the only one,
yeah,
who's had this temptation, and it may feel like it.
Yes.
There are a lot of people among the family of believers, I love that term, undergoing the same kinds of suffering. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. And that standing firm in the faith is not just a cliche.
No.
I'm in the Word. I'm in prayer. I'm in fellowship with other believers. I'm active in my Christian faith. You know, and you can talk about this, so many people, they get blindsided by Satan.
Right.
By temptation.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, I can't believe it, man. I was just blindsided. And you look back and say, were you in the Word?
Mm-hmm.
No. You have any significant times of prayer? No prayer. Were you connected with other believers? No, yeah, I didn't have time for that. You go down the checklist of things you need to do to be growing in Christ, and they're not doing them.
You know, that is such a great point, Ron, that it's like it becomes a surprise to us. Wait a second, this shouldn't be happening. Part of being ready for the battle is being in the Word, being in prayer, being in fellowship, being with other believers. But the second part of it, the more we are in the Word and in the Spirit and in fellowship, and locking arms with other believers, the more we understand that when Jesus said, in this world you will have many troubles, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So that shouldn't be a surprise. I love 1 Peter because it talks about the trials you're going to face for a very short time in this world. Don't be surprised as these fiery trials come here, as if something strange is happening. And then it goes on at the end of chapter 5, verse 8, he said, and guess what? It's not just you. Because let's face it, my flesh is weak. And when I'm going through tough times, I want to say, ah, woe is me. But it's not just me. It is believers throughout the world.
So the Pittsburgh Marathon took place recently. Your wife, Karen, ran the marathon.
Best time ever.
Best time ever. Did a great job. She ran the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I ran the Pittsburgh Marathon relay. So I ran in the Pittsburgh Marathon at the relay, 4.7 miles, the last leg of five with my four kids, which was a blast. So I'm training for 4.7 miles, mostly downhill, right?
Right.
So if I would come and say, Tunch, you know, right before the race, I trained for the 4.7, mostly downhill.
Right.
But I decided before the race I was going to run the whole marathon, and I just can't believe it, man. You know, about 5 miles into it, I was dying. I didn't do very well in the marathon. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
What happened to me? You'd say?
You knucklehead, you trained for 5 miles. That's what you got. You got to train for the whole marathon. I was just talking to a guy who'd been coming to the church for a really long time. And he said, you know what? I haven't read the Bible. And he said, but I want to. I'm getting ready to start. But it always surprises me when people who have been in the church for a long time, have been believers a long time, professed Christ a long time, and have spent very little time in the Word, very little time in spiritual training, very little time in the spiritual disciplines. And then no wonder when tough times come, you only train for 4.7 miles, Ron. How are you going to run the marathon? You know, I wouldn't go into a game in the National Football League without practicing. Hey, I didn't go to training camp, and I didn't play in any of the preseason games. I'm ready to start the first. With 4 days of practice, I'm ready to start the first regular season game.
So here's what so many people will do. And again, when we say so many people, it's not like they do that and not us.
Yeah, right. Right? Yeah.
We're in the same
game. We are broken.
Here's human nature.
Yeah.
Things are going pretty well, right? So, you know, I'm going to read the Bible when I get a chance or not, because I don't really feel a need for it, right? And I'm going to pray or not. So I've not been training, not been reading the Word, not been putting on the full armor of God, not been hanging out with other believers because I'm busy.
Yeah.
Well, then something tough hits.
Right.
I lose a job. Illness comes, and all of a sudden I get real serious about my Christian walk, and I should. But here's the deal. I can't train in the game's going on, right? The battle. I needed to prepare for the battle, to engage in the battle. Right. When the battle's coming and I'm not prepared, I'm at a disadvantage, just as you'd be at a disadvantage if you got hurt and you couldn't go through training camp, and you missed a practice before the first week. But all of a sudden, for whatever reason, you're now in the game, but you're at a disadvantage.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think sometimes we think being in those disciplines, being in fellowship, locking arms with other people, coming to church, studying the Word, reading the Word, being in prayer, we look at those things as an obligation as opposed to a privilege and a necessity. And we're not saying we're perfect or we do everything right, but I've gotten to the point in my life, I do desire to read the Word in the morning. You know, I realize that the longer that I've walked with Christ, the more spiritually bankrupt I am. And the more I need Christ moment by moment, the more I need to start my day with Him. It's kind of funny. Even today, this very day, I woke up, I was a little sluggish, and I said, you got to get in the Word. So when I pray, I am praying the Word for my children, for my bride, for myself, for my friends, whoever I'm praying for during that time. You know, we were talking about the 42nd Psalm, and it starts out going, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth after you. I want that, and I need that, and I want to be like that deer, like that man that's thirsty in a dry, parched land. The Word of God is refreshing. I need the Word of God. I need to be reminded that I need.
I think, Tunch, you can tell when a person is growing in their spiritual walk by this thing. They need God more.
Yeah.
When I slack off, when I get away, I start doing things on my own.
Right.
I don't depend on God like I should. But in those times when God has me where he wants me and he's moving me along, you know, like you say, getting out of bed early, getting in the Word. And you don't have to get out of bed early to get in the Word. But
it works for me. I'm an early guy.
So get in the Word, reflect on it. For me, I go for a run after that and pray for my kids and maybe something going on in my life or something I've read in God's Word. When I'm in those good times, I realize how much I need him.
Yeah. And the beauty of that, Ron, is, and you know this better than I do, is that when in that time of deep desire for God, even if things are going bad, that doesn't mean that there's no pain there. Pain is inevitable. I forget who said it, but misery is optional.
Right.
And so even when there's pain in that time with God, there is this sense of I'm okay because God has me. And so it is that word that I feast on, and then now I rest on that word. I'm resting in him. And those things go hand in hand.
So we're talking about the defenses that we as believers have against Satan. Here's another one. We need to take a decisive stand.
Right.
James 4:7, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We've titled the series Engaging in the Battle, and we thought about the different terrains that men fight the battle on. When you're fighting a battle, you have to take a stand. Mm. You can't be indecisive. Well, you know, here comes the enemy. I don't know whether I'm going to fight him or not. Right. I don't know if I'm going to run or not. I don't know what weapon I'm going to use.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to be ready. You got to take your stand. So submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
We got to take a stand to not be moved.
Mm-hmm.
In my career, I played against Reggie White many, many times. And he had the best bull rush. We used to call it being freight train. And when he set the bull rush, if you didn't take a firm stand, you were getting run over. I mean, you got to take a stand, and you've got to be ready for the bull rush. You have to understand that here it comes, mm-hmm. and you got to be ready for it.
When you talk to a guy who falls into sin, what's one of the things they always say? Ah. I never thought it could happen to me.
I didn't see it coming. I was doing this and I was doing that. The next thing you know, I'm in a hotel room.
And while they were busy doing all that stuff, like any of us could get busy doing some things and not taking the stand, and we get blindsided. I know in your career, you're headed one direction to make a block on a linebacker or whatever, and someone pops you from the side.
Right.
You didn't see him coming.
Didn't see it coming.
And that happens so often with sin. You know, we're headed one direction. We got our eyes focused maybe on the wrong thing.
Right.
And kaboom, man, we are knocked off our feet. And I talked to so many guys, you know, Ron, I don't know. I thought I could fall a lot of ways, but I didn't think I could fall that way.
Right. Sometimes it's us. Sometimes we're just being plain naive. And I think it always goes back to the Word. So if I'm in the Word, and we use David a lot. David was a man after God's heart. Well, David fell. So if a man after God's own heart, a man who wrote most of the Psalms, and we see this tremendous passion, this tremendous insight, and this tremendous worship of God could fall, man, if you think, well, I couldn't do that, you're delusional. When you read about David's life and you see the sin and the consequence of that sin and the way it plays out from his son Absalom to his entire family to all of Israel, I believe one of the reasons God put that there is to show us that none of us are exempt from that kind of temptation and from that potential failure. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we got to be engaged with God.
You know, you may be going through something and you're flirting with sin and you say, you know what, I'm not resisting the devil. Now's the time to turn back. Now's the time to repent. And I think, Tunch, we've talked a lot about this with David, a man after God's own heart. Sometimes you say, man after God's own heart. I mean, David fell, and he fell hard.
Hard.
And what was he thinking? And there were some times when he should have been out with the men on the battlefield, and he was back viewing some things he shouldn't have been viewing from the top of his palace.
Mm-hmm.
But he confessed his sins.
Right.
He had a tender heart toward God. When confronted with his sin, he confessed it. He owned up to it. And you see that so much with other characters of Scripture, Asa being one, King Asa, Solomon's grandson. He sinned. But when he was confronted, he was just mad at the person who confronted him.
Yeah,
you see it with Saul, and you see it in the people in the New Testament as well. Mm-hmm. Look at Peter and Judas. Judas and Peter both denied Christ.
Right.
Judas takes matters into his own hands and kills himself. Peter confesses and becomes a stalwart of the Christian faith. And so it's not about being perfect. It's about being open before God. Again, right. Going back to the Lion of War series, it's a narrative based on Scripture, but talking about David's confession right before a battle, one of his men is talking with him about a sin he committed. I'm sure before battle, the conversation got a little personal.
Yeah.
And this guy was talking about a sin he committed, and David says, oh, you haven't been open about it yet,
mm-hmm.
meaning you haven't confessed it yet.
Right.
That was the beauty of David's life. He was always there to confess his sin before God. Wasn't perfect.
No.
But I believe that's the tender heart God's talking about right. when he says, a man after my own heart.
Yeah, against you and you alone have I sinned, Lord.
Yeah.
And you know what was great was the relationship that God and David had and the intimacy that they had. God did not allow David's sin internally in David's heart. He said, until I confessed, I was burdened. Like
almost
he,
physically.
Yeah, yeah, right. And so the beauty of that was God did not allow David to rest. And David did not allow himself to rest. David
right.
finally came clean.
Right. So we need to take a decisive stand, resist the devil, and he will flee. And part of that may be repentance,
yeah.
Because we need to make sure our heart is turned toward God. And one more, God has provided armor for defense. Right. Ephesians chapter 6, 11 through 18, finally be strong in the Lord. What a beautiful
yeah.
reminder. Your strength isn't going to get it. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He is more than enough. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark age, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and after you have done everything to stand. I love that. There's a picture in my mind. So you're able to stand your ground. The enemy comes at you and after you have fought them, you're still standing.
Yeah.
Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We have the defense.
Yeah. Put on the equipment. Put it all on. How foolish of us if we don't utilize it.
Mm-hmm.
And how naive to think we can stand the fiery darts of the devil without the full armor of God.
So you're playing against the Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
And you're ready to take the field.
Yeah.
You're a starting offensive tackle. You're ready to take the field and you're in the tunnel before you go out and you're
right.
all fired up.
Right.
You don't have your uniform on.
That's right.
And they're going to say, what are you thinking about?
Yeah, absolutely. You're crazy. And you know, that's a nightmare. By the way, I've never played against the Baltimore Ravens. They weren't existed when I retired. It's kind of funny. I don't know what this means, but I have this nightmare that kind of shows up every once in a while where it's right before kickoff, and I'm looking for my shoulder pads and my helmet. I can't find them, and I'm starting to panic. And I'm going, what did you do with your stuff, you dope, ya? But you're right. You know, look, we can't go into the battle without the full armor of God. We cannot battle the flesh, the world, and the devil without the full armor of God.
So just as you would look at a football player without his shoulder pads, without his helmet, and say, that's ridiculous. What are you thinking about?
Right.
So
yeah,
we can look at ourselves, and when we don't put on all the armor, you know, what are we thinking?
You'd think he was crazy.
Leaving yourself defenseless. And that's just not a ridiculous scenario. That, for the believer, man, that's a dangerous one.
Very dangerous.
Where we are going to go into battle without any defense.
Right.
And Satan has a heyday.
Yeah.
We've talked over these programs about Satan and about who Satan is. And again, we've said, you're not going to find Satan behind every bush, but he's real.
Yeah.
He's a person. He is powerful. He is a student of human nature. He is not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. He is not omnipresent, but he knows who we are and where we are, and he is ready to take us down, and he prowls like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Why don't you pray for us and close out this session on the person of Satan, and pray for the men out there who may be going into the battle without the equipment on that they need, and just pray that God would open their eyes to see they got to suit up for this battle.
Lord, we just praise your name. We thank you for who you are and what you've done in our lives. We thank you for the cross. We thank you as we study the scriptures, as you reveal who Satan really is and who he isn't. And so, Lord, we just pray for strength. We know that he is the tempter. Lord, let us not be tempted. Cause us to remove ourselves from a place of temptation. We know that he is the deceiver, the accuser, the liar, the father of all lies. Lord, we pray that we would not fall for the lies of Satan. We know that he is the accuser, and we pray that we wouldn't fall for those accusations, that we couldn't be used by God, that our sin really hasn't been forgiven. All those lies that he whispers into our ear, that your word says that your truth will set us free. Lord, let us stand on the truth. Your word is truth. Lord, we know that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. Lord, cause us not to fall for the deception of other religions, of anything that is short of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of our sins, Lord. And Lord, we pray that we would put on the full armor of God, that we realize, Lord, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it is in the heavenlies, Lord. So we pray that as men, we would put on the full armor of God, that we would be ready for the battle, that we would be able to stand firm when the fiery darts of Satan come against us, Lord, that we wouldn't be surprised when trials and tribulations come our way, that we would stand firm in the gospel of peace. So we thank you so much, Lord, that you'd give us everything we need to battle Satan. And not only do you give us, but you dwell in us. And so we thank you that our strength comes from you and not of our own. Lord, cause us never, never, never to forget that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And please stay with us. Ron returns with a special announcement just ahead. In a day of doubts and fears, of challenges and opportunities, you need the assurance of God's power and guidance. The children of Israel faced just such days as they entered the Promised Land. How they won the day with God's direction and strength is told in the book of Joshua. Now, Ron Moore surveys that heroic story in his encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. In its reflections, Ron shares thought-provoking insights that will equip you to spiritually imitate Israel's ultimate victories. A digital copy of Strong and Courageous is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron to tell us about an important upcoming event.
I'm here with the Associate Pastor of the Bible Chapel, Dave DiDonato, and we want to let you know about an exciting series that we're going to be teaching together this summer. It's called Relevant Faith, and it will run for 6 weeks, beginning the weekend of August 10th and 11th at the Bible Chapel. During the six-part series, we're going to address some of the most important issues facing our culture today. Things like, is there such a thing as absolute truth? Can the Bible be trusted? The person of Jesus Christ, and the significance of the church. Now, if you're in the Pittsburgh area, we invite you to join us in person at one of our campuses. If not, there are other ways in which you can join us for this important series. We'll tell you more about that in a minute. Dave, what's the motivation behind this series, and why is it so important?
Thanks, Ron. Well, Generation Z includes those in the age bracket roughly around 8 to 24 years old, and they are growing up today in what many consider the first post-Christian generation of our country. That means that more than 50% of this generation is unchurched. They are living in a world that is trying to completely redefine what truth is, and we believe it's the church's responsibility to prepare this next generation for the culture they are living in today. And we want to be proactive in equipping them and equipping their parents to have the answers to these big questions of the faith that are being asked to them daily.
Well, Dave, we're excited about this series, and we just want you to know, if you live in the Pittsburgh area, we invite you to join us in person for our Relevant Faith Summer Series at one of our campuses in the South Hills or in Robinson, in Ross Traver, in Washington, in Wilkinsburg. Visit our church website at BibleChapel.org. That's BibleChapel.org for more information. And for those living outside the Pittsburgh area, you can join us through our online campus that streams our services every Sunday from our website, our app, and our Facebook page. So you can join us this summer as we declare that following Jesus Christ is just as relevant today as it's ever been, and that Christ alone is the only way to have a relationship with the living God. We look forward to seeing you at one of our campuses.
Again, that web address is BibleChapel.org. And please remember that a digital download of Ron Moore's inspiring devotional, Strong and Courageous, is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, we ask that you tell your friends and family about our program. Finally, please keep in mind that The Journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Tunch next time as we walk together on The Journey.